anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
You are listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of one of our favorite guests, Dr. Jerome Corsi, a graduate, has got his degree there at Harvard. And he's going to be talking to us in political science, I believe. Was it political science, Jerry?
Yes, political science from Harvard. In 1972.
All right, fine. Well, of course, he writes regularly for WorldNet Daily. He's written a number of books, several of them, which we carry right here at Radio Liberty. But he's written a new book. It's called Abomination. And, of course, it's really Abomination, but it's sort of a play on the words. And we're going to ask him to tell us what the message is of this book, because my understanding is this has really boomed to the tops of the New York Times bestseller list, hasn't it?
It's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It debuted at number one, Dr. Stan. It came out after 3 days' sales at number one. And it's going to be number one for 2 weeks in a row. We just got the word late this afternoon.
Well, I think that's wonderful, Jerry. I'm just glad for you. But I'm glad you're getting the word out. So I want you to tell our listeners what you have learned by researching this gentleman who's running for the presidency of the United States, who professes to be a Christian, who professes to be a good, loyal American, who's prepared to lead our nation, and yet he's only served for relatively few months as a junior senator from Illinois before he launched his campaign for the presidency. It's almost as if there's an invisible force behind Barack Hussein Obama. So go right ahead.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, the premise of the book, which is really expressed in the subtitle, it's Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality. And what I've basically argued is that we take a look at Obama's life, his life experiences, who he says were his intellectual heroes and that he learned from in developing, we see a very, very extreme leftist. And to convey this to the American public, is a campaign strategist, David Axelrod, has created this cult of personality around Obama. This very lofty, almost messiah-like, superhuman entity, based on largely a fictionalized understanding of who Obama is, a lot of borrowed taglines from pop culture, including, Yes We Can, which was the original Si Se Puede of Cesar Chavez back in the United Farm Workers Crusade and campaign in the 60s to organize the Hispanic farm workers. And so a lot of lifted language, lofty themes, hope and change, and a protective shell around Obama, so that if you ask any questions or probe anything, you're defined as a racist and are subject then to be name-called and abused because you dared to ask any questions about Obama. Now, I start, Dr. Stan, with...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be back here in just a moment here. You'll go right ahead.
I start here, Dr. Stan, with going into the history of Obama, his family. Obama starts out with his own autobiography, which is Dreams for My Father. And in Dreams for My Father, what Obama's saying is that, you know, his father was this hero figure whom Obama presents as having been a goat herd in Africa that got an opportunity to study in the United States. And what I start by demonstrating, I talk to Saeed Obama, who is the brother of his father, his uncle. And Saeed says, yes, we had goats, but, you know, we wasn't a poor family. Just because they had goats doesn't mean they were poor.
Oh, you hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment as we bring some of our other stations on board, Jay.
Okay.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash. Are you ready?
I, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I do hereby indict you, Dr. Peter Duesberg, for the deaths of millions of people worldwide through your role in the creation of AIDS.
Dr. Peter Duesberg, are you a mass murderer?
I'm afraid I'm not quite that powerful. I think Dr. Horowitz must have seen Dr. Strangelove once too many times. The retroviruses are the most harmless viruses that we know.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash, Are You Ready? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the most controversial program on the Genesis Communications Network. Find out why. Visit our website at www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S., though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. Visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of his kingdom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Corsi has had an opportunity to talk to some of Obama's relatives in Africa, at least one of them, and of course, his father, who he glorifies in his book, was actually a polygamist, who actually killed himself in one of a number of drunken accidents. That was the end of him, but he actually certainly was a bigamist. He married one woman in the United States, Obama's mother, when he was still married to a woman in Africa, and and then he left Obama's mother, and he went off and got another wife, and then he took her back to Africa and had more children with his first wife, and of course he was a failure. Now, this is the father. This is not Obama's fault, but he doesn't tell the truth about it in his books. And if he had lied to the American people in his books, what else would he lie about? So you pick the story up, Jerry. You've done a lot of fundamental research on this, haven't you?
Oh, I have. I've been working on this since 2006, Dr. Stan.
Go ahead.
You know, as we pick the story up, Obama is not telling the story of his father. Part of what Obama, when you begin reading the autobiography, and the autobiography is a psychological autobiography, what Obama says in it is that, you know, he's changed names. He doesn't tell the chronology exactly as it happened, that Obama has, in fact, invented parts of the story. So he's telling a psychological story here, not a chronological autobiography that's supposed to be 100% true as written. And the dynamic of the psychological autobiography is that Obama is searching for his father and his identity. And what he does is he finds it in race, and in the inheritance he gets from his father is evidently his African-American inheritance, even though Obama is not really an African-American descended from slaves. He's more of an African, an American by virtue of his mother, who was 18 years old when he was born in Hawaii.
But, of course, doesn't he more or less, in his own writings, play down the white and really, really almost demean his white heritage?
Oh, yes. In fact, when Obama gets now back into the next part, yes, he does. He ultimately finds Obama, his identity in black rage. He is reading Malcolm X. He says Malcolm X really resonates with his soul, and Malcolm X is the writer that had the most impact on him. So, you know, this, and Malcolm X, of course, is extremely black rage, basically black Muslim, the whites are the devil. And Obama picks out this one speech of Malcolm X. Malcolm X, one of the women in his bloodline was raped by a white man. And so Malcolm X railed frequently that he hated the white blood in him, and he wanted to purge himself of the white blood.
He hated the white blood in him?
He hated the white blood in him.
I mean, this is really a racist remark. I mean, I don't care whether he's black, purple, or what he is, but we should not be trying to reach hate and antagonism. What we need to realize, we're all, you know, made in the image and likeness of God. We're all brothers, certainly, no matter what the color of our skin. But to say and write that you actually hate the white race?
This was, you know, Obama saying that what Malcolm X is saying there and hating his white blood. Obama saying, I relate to this. Well, what Obama is saying is he hates the white blood in him of his mother. And that's the purging he wants to do in finding his identity. It's a remarkable passage, and I discuss it at length in the book. Now, here's Obama, let's follow the story a little bit further. The mother finally divorces Kenyan father. She divorces him. And she marries a second third world man who's a Muslim. This man is an Indonesian. And the mother goes with the Indonesian, now stepfather of Obama, and Obama back to Indonesia. And Indonesian, of course, Obama says he's never been Muslim and he's never had any Muslim education. But back in Indonesia, Obama is enrolled in a public school, at least for 1 year, and I've been able to prove, I got the Indonesian newspapers, the Indonesian television, Obama had at least 1 year of Islamic instruction in the public school in Jakarta. And the education he got was reserved for those students who registered themselves as Muslim. Even in the Catholic school Obama attended, the Assisi Franciscan School, Obama there was registered as a Muslim. And Obama attended the mosque with his stepfather. So through this period of time, in these ages 6 to 10, and these are formative years. I mean, I'm Roman Catholic. I was brought into the Roman Catholic Church with catechism at age 6 to 10. I was born in the Roman Catholic Church. And it's very formative years for me. I still have the catechism from those years. And, you know, as you look back on Obama, he could at least again tell the truth that he had this Islamic instruction in Jakarta when he was there. And Obama, however, his campaign denies it, and they attempt to say that that was You know, they act as if it would be radioactive if Americans really realize that it's true that Obama had Islamic instruction. So now we move forward. Obama is sent home. He doesn't stay in Jakarta. He comes back to Hawaii. His mother later comes back. She abandons him again a couple years later to finish her dissertation, her master's dissertation. The mother's, Obama describes, is kind of a hippie and, you know, latching on to all these kind of mushy-headed leftist ideas and sentiments, kind of a do-gooder. And her thesis is on Indonesian blacksmithing, the history of Indonesian blacksmithing. I mean, Dr. Stan, clearly a work we couldn't have lived without, and certainly a work that would, you know, more than merit abandoning your small son and going back to Jakarta to finish your dissertation.
Well, now, who looked after Barack when his mother abandoned?
Grandparents.
What?
His white grandparents.
Okay, his white. So he's being raised then by his white grandparents.
Yes.
How does he feel towards his white grandparents?
Well, Obama describes that both of his white grandparents he considered had racist feelings. This famous incident with the grandmother, where she's a banker, she's one of the few women of her era who was the vice president of the bank, and so she's waiting at a street corner to get a bus in the morning, and some panhandler comes up and frightens her. Well, when Obama learns that the reason his grandmother was frightened was because the panhandler was black, Obama said it kind of like threw a knife into his soul. I mean, he realized his grandmother was racist. Well, you know, this is an overreaction by a kid who's in high school, but again, it was one of the indications he was considering even then that the grandparents who were raising him were racist. And he accuses them of being such. Now, these are the grandparents. They sold their home in Hawaii. They moved into a smaller apartment, and the best I can figure out, they used that money to get Obama to go to this fancy preparatory school, Punahou Academy. And you'd think Obama would have been appreciative. But Obama in these years says he's retreating into his bedroom. He's reading Malcolm X and other angry black writers. And in reading Malcolm X, the black rage is building. So Obama says he retreats into drugs. He begins using marijuana and cocaine. Great rebellious years, a lot of thanks to the grandparents for all the money they're spending him to send him to this prestige preparatory high school. Then Obama, through his grandfather, meets Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis is an admitted Communist Party USA member who is retiring in Hawaii. Frank Marshall Davis was a journalist and a poet in the 20s and 30s in Chicago. And Paul Robeson, another communist singer, and also Harry Bridges, who was a communist labor union head of the IWLU at the time, they encouraged Frank Marshall Davis to retire in Hawaii. And Obama says he met Frank Marshall Davis and started now drinking alcohol with him and smoking cigarettes and listening to the communist poetry and talking about socialism. And this was Obama's high school years. I mean, we're talking 14, 15.
Now, these are all things that Obama's writing. These are not things you're just saying.
No, Obama wrote this in his autobiography.
Right.
Now,
okay.
He hid who Frank was. He just called him Frank. But Obama, and now that, you know, people have had a time to research that, it's absolutely clear that Frank is Frank Marshall Davis. And so that's completely now disclosed. And even the Associated Press recently ran a piece identifying Frank as Frank Marshall Davis. The communists were the first to identify him in a speech that was given by a prominent communist when some Communist Party USA papers were donated, I believe, to the New York University Library.
Well, it's very interesting, Jerry. I do subscribe to the communist publications. I have for some 45 years, and
right.
That's why I'm probably on the FBI's list. But a recent issue of Political Affairs, the theoretical journal of the Communist Party, had a caricature, a picture of Obama on the front, standing in front of a microphone with the caption above, "We're winning. We're winning." So go ahead.
Yes, and okay, so this is a mentor that Obama doesn't want anybody to know who he is or appreciate. So Obama now goes to Occidental for college in California, another prestige school, continues doing drugs, and now he's reading Franz Fanon. And I've made some really important associations in what Obama says with Franz Fanon. because Frantz Fanon was the Algerian black who was writing revolutionary books at the time of the Algerian Revolution. He wrote Black Skins, White Masks, and he wrote The Wretched of the Earth. Frantz Fanon advocated killing whites as a way to get over the inauthenticity of colonialism. And here's Obama reading Frantz Fanon and relating to Frantz Fanon. And as Obama gets through these college years, it's unclear to me when or if he quits using the drugs. He says at Occidental he's almost become an habitual user of drugs, and has, I think, reached the point where, you know, Obama, people who use drugs and they self-report when they quit, it's rarely reliable. We also don't know who sold Obama the drugs. Where did he get them? And we don't know if Obama sold drugs to anybody else either.
But anyway, of course, he admits that he's using drugs all during this time, all during his years of college, which does alter your mental outlook. I mean, there's just no way you can take these drugs over a long period of time and have them not having a profound impact on you. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. And, of course, this is the biography. You can get it, you know, by autobiography. But, of course, this is not mentioned by the media, and I wonder why.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea! And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair Special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 15 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
We're going to be right back here. Well, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, he's simply talking about how Frank Marshall Davis, who was a hardline communist, was one of Obama's close friends, associates there, and he writes about this in his book. And then, of course, how he is a disciple of Saul Alinsky, who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. I thought he wrote another book on Rules for Revolution, but certainly...
No, he called... The second book was Reveille for Radicals.
Reveille for Radicals. Reveille okay. For radicals. Well, anyway, of course, I mean, certainly Obama is actually working, using Alinsky's techniques to organize the people there. These are, frankly, Marxist techniques to organize the downtrodden against the oppressive, of course, government of our society. And not that there isn't some justification for this, but you don't join people who want to destroy our nation if you really want to save our nation. That's the thing. I can be critical, but I want to preserve America. Obviously, Obama had a different agenda, so you pick the story up there.
Well, so, okay, Obama now in the Million Man March, and remember, this continuity, this thread from Malcolm X, who was black Muslim, to Louis Farrakhan's march in 1995, and Obama's on the Million Man March. And remember, the black Muslims are, again, radicals. The black Muslims believe that white people, we are the devils, white people are devils, and that blacks need to cast the devils out in order to purify society and create liberation for blacks.
And of course, then he's marching right along and with Louis Farrakhan, who's one of the most radical, you know, pro-Muslim, anti-American individuals, and Obama's marching in this march?
Correct. In fact, Reverend Wright goes in the Million Man March, too, and Reverend Wright actually writes a book about the Million Man March.
And of course, there really weren't a million men there at all.
Oh, there weren't a million men there, but, you know, it was a huge march on Washington in 1995. Now, about this time also, Obama decides he has to belong to a church. He's working in this Developing Communities Project, and this project is aimed to utilize churches in order to mobilize the community to affect radical redistribution of wealth. And of course, Obama doesn't belong to a church. They say, who's your pastor? And Obama doesn't have one. So Obama begins to interview these churches, decide which ones he's going to belong to, and he settles upon the Reverend Wright's, you know, radical Black Liberation Theology Church.
And of course, Wright hates whites. I mean, this is the thing.
Yes.
And of course, he joins this church. He's there in this church that hates white people. You know, this is not Christianity. Of course, this is using the veneer of Christianity to push a political agenda. And isn't Wright one of his closest friends? Doesn't he baptize his children? And
yes,
all
he marries them to his wife and baptizes his children.
All right, and then he says, but I didn't know what he was saying.
Yes, there's a big dispute about which days he was in the church.
Right.
I didn't know that Reverend Wright was so extreme because I didn't hear that sermon.
After 20 years?
Well, and also, let me explain what Black Liberation Theology is, Dr. Stan. Okay, there was an exchange between Sean Hannity and Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright said, hey, you haven't read James Cone. Well, James Cone is the chief theologist of Black Liberation Theology, and the tenets of the religion are this. The historical Jesus Christ was black. He was African, Palestinian, and that Christianity was created by Jesus Christ in order to be a revolutionary religion. To the Romans were the imperialist capitalists of the day, and the argument is that Jesus Christ created Christianity to overthrow the Romans, who were then colonizing Israel. And the argument carried forward by James Cone is that Black Liberation Theology is designed so that a Black Messiah can come forward today and overthrow the imperial capitalists of today, which is us, the white United States government. And then in the process, that would affect liberation, because the whites in America and, our imperialist system have enslaved blacks and colonized them in ghettos. So this is a revolutionary religion. I mean, there's some 4,000 churches, African-American churches in the country, United States, and only something like four are black liberation theology churches, and Obama picks one.
I'm just glad that the majority of the black churches do not embrace this radical form
not.
Of hatred. But there are small groups of wood, and wouldn't it, I think it's so interesting, as you say, that Obama would pick one of the very, very few churches that embrace this intense hatred of whites. So he is really engendering this whole racial issue in everything he writes about, isn't he?
Yes. Race permeates the entire book, Autobiography of Obama, the Dreams for My Father. It's all. Remember, the subtitle of Obama's autobiography is A Story of Race and Inheritance.
Right. And, well, all right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi talking about his book, Obama Nation. Obama Nation, it's right there at the top of the New York Times best-selling list, and will be for at least 2 weeks. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Are you as prepared physically and spiritually as you can be for the uncertainties of 2008-2009? This is Elizabeth Border. You can request a free sample newsletter tracking the police state, both the Protestant and Roman Catholic signs of the great falling away. Just write your request to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland 21609. You can hear our internet program on the Classy Genesis Communications Network, GCNlive.com, 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. You can also hear it on shortwave Friday evenings on 5070, 7 p.m. Central. You can hear us on Saturday and Sunday evenings after Dr. Stan on Rick's satellite. Sometimes Sally Lou and Pat Hockett will slip out of American Babylon to satirize, entertain, and yes, teach you in parable form. If you love the Republic, that old, beautiful America, be sure to tune in to the Divided Kingdom.
Even terrible gas prices don't come close to the disaster of food costs from shortages already destroying millions of American families. Wheat for flour is already four times more expensive than it was about a year ago. Food costs continue to double because there's no food worldwide. The only solution is to use now and store for later great flavored super bulk foods that cost half as much as your groceries cost last year. Get on the web at eFoodsDirect.com and find a 2-month grab-and-go kit. This easy fix supply gives you 2 months worth of three great meals a day. The cost, about $5 a day. eFoodsDirect.com also has a complete bulk supply of superfood at half the cost of last year's groceries. Call 800-409-5633. The rest of the world is starving, but what happens in your piece of America is up to you. Call 800-409-5633.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's just talking about the fact that there's a hiatus in any understanding of Obama as a religious. He took his Muslim. teachings when he was in Indonesia, went to schools where he was taught the Muslim religion, registered as a Muslim. And then, of course, we find a hiatus of 20 years or so before he eventually joins Reverend White's Reverend Wright's church, which is a racist church. They're preaching liberation theology, not Christianity. They're preaching hatred. In fact, as Jerry says, there's only perhaps three or four of all the thousands of black churches that embrace this. And isn't it interesting that Obama joins the church? He never hears any of the sermons, and yet, of course, Reverend Wright has actually published many of his sermons and books, and they're all filled with hatred, hatred, hatred. So pick the story up there.
Well, and as we're saying here, with Obama, and I'm putting these threads together so people really understand who Obama is. I wrote The Obama Nation, and it's 360 pages long, Dr. Stan. It's got nearly 700 footnotes in it. I think 680 is the count. Went to a lot of primary sources. I must have referenced over 100 books in writing this. Indonesian newspapers and television, Kenyan newspapers and television. A lot of primary sources, interviews that I conducted to do the book. So it's very well substantiated, and the footnotes are not there to make the book slow or difficult to read. A normal reader can get through this book in a very short time. It'll carry you through wanting to know who Obama is. But the footnotes are in the back so that if you want to know where the sources came from, you can drill down to the footnotes and find the sources. When a source was on the Internet, I put in the Internet address so you can actually look the source up on the Internet. I did this to be very thorough. Now, when Obama is now ready to go and start entering into politics, and I want to talk about his main political benefactor in Chicago, Tony Renzko. Tony Renzko is now a convicted felon in federal prison. And what Tony Renzko would do is that Renzko's game was to get low-income housing buildings, get title to them, and then Renzko would borrow millions against these buildings. And the millions that he would borrow were for redevelopment of the buildings, to put improvements in the low-income housing so people could live in them more comfortably. Well, somehow, none of the money tended to get spent for the redevelopment. I mean, now virtually every Renzko project in Chicago, they're boarded up, they're uninhabitable, and they're a disgrace, and the money's gone. The loans can't be repaid, and Renzko cannot account for the money. Now, 12 of these projects were in Obama's state Senate district. Okay, when Obama was in the state legislature in Illinois, 12 Renzko projects. Now, you would think, Dr. Stan, that here would be Obama out on the front lines defending his poor constituents who are being thrown on the street by Renzko out of these, you know, built, you know, now uninhabitable low-income housing projects. But Obama doesn't do that. Obama goes to work for the law firm that's representing Renzko. He starts writing letters for Renzko to get new properties. And in the process, Obama is taking campaign contributions from Renzko. His very first campaign contribution came from Renzko. And even last year, Obama had to return nearly $250,000 that Renzko had given him in campaign contributions running for president. Now, Obama, in this process, is all the time doing the same thing he did to Reverend Wright. He's saying, well, Tony Renzko isn't the guy I thought he was. I didn't know he was a criminal. Well, give me a break. The Chicago newspapers had an investigator that they interviewed who had been following Obama and Renzko. And there were periods of time when Obama and Renzko met each other or had telephone conversations every single day. Obama knew him quite well. Obama does the same thing with Bill Ayers, who is the radical underground weatherman in Chicago. David Axelrod, Obama's campaign manager, says the only way that Axelrod knew this terrorist weather underground bomber was because they lived in the same neighborhood and their children went to school. Well, Ayers' kids are grown. Obama's kids are little kids. There's no way they went to school unless Ayers' kids were exceptionally slow. And that didn't happen. So again, we've got a pattern of Obama lying, Obama denying relationships that he chose that were material to his political and economic success in Chicago, and that again reflect not a true passion for the poor, but kind of a Marxist association with the poor. You know, Obama doesn't want his income redistributed, and he's not out there fighting for the poor in his district that Resco's putting on the street.
Well, of course, now Resco was eventually arrested and convicted of fraud. What happened?
He was convicted of basically influence peddling.
I see.
Because Resco got this scheme to the point where if a person wanted to get a contract from the city of Chicago, they had to pay Resco first, and then Resco fixed the contract.
I see.
So Resco was called a fixer in Chicago. Resco, by the way, is Syrian. He is not Italian. And Resco now comes to, Obama wants to buy his dream home property, which happens to be across the street from Resco. It's one of these Victorian revival style houses. I mean, I don't think I could ever live in it. But it was a, you know, three-story, it's on a corner double lot in Hyde Park, which is the Tony area of Hyde Park near the University of Chicago. Obama is now not going to be living in the minority section of Chicago, which is poor, where his constituents are. He's going to move into this part of south side of Chicago, which is where Resco is and the million-dollar properties are, close to the University of Chicago. Now, this property Obama couldn't afford. So Resco says, well, I and my wife will buy the vacant lot, and you buy the house. And somehow Obama gets a reduction in price of $300,000 on the something like $1.9 million house, and Resco pays full value for the vacant lot, and Obama gets a prestige special loan from Northern Trust, because Northern Trust is managing Obama's money from his autobiography and his second book, Audacity of Hope. Now, as this goes along, the property closes. Resco sells a little piece of the vacant lot back to Obama, which makes it hard to develop that lot. Then Resco's wife sells the rest of the vacant lot to an Obama supporter, and the alderman in the area says, well, nothing can be built on this now that would meet community standards. So Obama now has a double lot that he did not pay the full price for in this manipulated deal. And by the way, at the time it's all coming through, Mrs. Resco gets a $3.7 million loan from, guess where, from London. And the loan comes from Aoki, Nadmi Aoki, who happens to be he's from Iraq. He was Saddam Hussein's bag man in the oil for food scandal. Nadmi is now a billionaire living in London. He owns an interest in Bank BPH Paribas in Paris, which is the bank through which Saddam Hussein ran the oil for food money. And in this process, here you've got this loan showing up from the Middle East with ties back to Saddam Hussein and the Middle East. Knock me the bag man, $3.7 million arrives on the doorstep of Mrs. Resco, and I guess that's probably where the down payment came for the vacant lot. Now, Obama comes into the Chicago papers and he says, oh, this is bonehead. This was a bonehead deal. Well, I think if it got investigated, we might find out it was a little bit more than bonehead.
I don't understand what he means by bonehead. I mean, it sounds very fishy to me. Bonehead means it's not very smart.
Well, and he means it was bonehead to do it with Resco, because now he's implicated in this property with Resco while Resco's sitting in federal prison. And it's an embarrassment. The reason it's bonehead was because it's embarrassing to Obama once we find out about it.
I see, okay. He wasn't too worried about it, of course, until it got discovered. And then, why, my goodness, I have no idea what was going on.
Ethics don't seem to bother Obama in any of these deals.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me, Jerry, is he's getting massive amounts of money from people all, in this country. I mean, we're talking about millions and tens of millions of dollars. People are pouring into his campaign, and most of these are really very wealthy people. This isn't the average little guy who's putting up $10 or $20 when I've run for political office. You're talking about tens of millions of dollars coming from powerful people who should not be allowed to give that amount of money.
Well, what I can say is, what is in my book, The Obama Nation, will destroy Obama's campaign if he doesn't answer the charges directly. And because I've dared to write it, because I've dared to speak out on it, now I'm going to have to, I'll be abused, I'll be called all kinds of names, and they'll try to discredit me by, you know, personal attacks, by, which, by the way, don't answer the arguments in the book. Personal attacks are ad hominem attacks that don't go to what I'm charging in the book.
No, because isn't that the way the game is always played, though? You never address the issues. You attack the people who made, and you demonize the people who made the charges so that you can take attention away from what they're really saying.
I think the problem with me, Dr. Stan, is I've been demonized before. I went through this already once with Unfit for Command,
right,
which I co-authored with John O'Neill. And so far, I haven't heard any new charges that weren't brought up when I wrote Unfit for Command. And by the tactic John Kerry used to attack me personally, he lost the election.
Right.
So if Obama wants to go down that same road and attack me personally, I guess he'll end up with the same result.
Well, I certainly admire your courage in being willing to take on this important issue and really to tell the American people what is in Obama's own books. And I've heard references to this, but you know, it was so hard to get the book and then to read the book. But now you've summarized these issues. Are there any other important issues that need to be brought out about the things Obama is not telling the American people or not being forthright on?
I want to talk about Kenya. Obama, remember, is from Kenya. His father was from Kenya. So Obama is a Luo tribesman in Kenya. And Obama, since 2006, has been supporting a fellow Luo tribesman to be president of Kenya, a guy named Raila Odinga. Okay, now, in 2006, Obama was back in Kenya, and every time Obama... He's there as a senator on supposedly a fact-finding mission. And every time Obama... shows up with fact-finding, there's Odinga. So all through the country, Obama and Odinga are campaigning together while Odinga's running for the president. Now, the government of Kenya in 2006, and I've got video of this, sends the spokesman for the government out and says to the press, we'd like Senator Obama either to stop campaigning in our country or to realize that he's being manipulated and a stooge of Odinga. He's now interfering in Kenyan presidential elections, which is inappropriate. So Obama, though, continues. Now, Odinga, in 2007, signs an agreement with radical Muslims in Kenya, with Sheikh Abdullah Abdi. And the agreement is that Odinga, who's, by the way, an extreme socialist, Odinga was educated in East Germany. Saw Fidel Castro speak. He named his first child Fidel. His father was a professed communist who had ties with Obama's father. So now this socialist candidate signs an agreement with the Muslims in Kenya and agrees to expand Islamic law if the Muslims will vote for him. Obama continues to support Odinga. Odinga loses in December 2007 the election, charges vote fraud. His supporters, Luo tribe, go on a rampage. They kill 1,000 Kenyans. 350,000 Kenyans are displaced. And it becomes violence against Christians. It becomes a massacre of Christians. So there's this little village called Eldoret, and 50 Christians seek refuge in the church. The Luo mob burns down the church and kills the 50 people. There is also news video of this happening in Eldoret. You can see the church having been burned down, and a complete discussion in Kenyan news of the massacre of these Christians. Obama still does not renounce Odinga. Instead, Obama is on the telephone with Odinga almost daily through the New Hampshire primary. And Obama works with Kofi Annan and with Condoleezza Rice to get Odinga power sharing. He's now the prime minister, virtually the co-president of Kenya, in an Obama-arranged deal. So we've got a guy running for president of the United States, Obama, who is a Luo tribesman in Kenya, who's supporting a socialist fellow Luo tribesman, despite Odinga's ties with radical Islam and this massacre of Christians that was instrumental in putting Odinga into power. I think it's a shocking story, and it's all true.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's amazing that the controlled media in the United States hasn't seen fit to bring that out, isn't it?
Yes, well, again, this is a story that the main media doesn't want anybody telling. And anybody who has, you know, the courage, as you say, to bring this forward, instead of, so far the book has been out now for 2 weeks. The Abomination's been out for 2 weeks. It's going to have a second week number one New York Times bestseller. It's gaining readership every day. And what Obama does is doing the same mistake that Kerry did. They first decided they just ignore the book. Maybe it would go away. Well, people are buying it and reading it. Now Obama's realizing that the charges are having an impact, as hundreds of thousands of people are out there reading what I've written. And Obama now decided the next wave that's starting is they're going to attack me. They'll be charging that I've written all kinds of, you know, scurrilous things, and they'll attack my books. There'll be, I'm sure, personal attacks that I believe will be almost identical to, if not identical, to the attacks rolled out by the Kerry people in 2004. Well, those attacks didn't win in 2004, and I don't think they'll win now, because this ad hominem attack will just, I think, encourage people to go read the book. They're going to say, what is the Obama campaign so afraid of that they have to engage in, you know, this kind of calumny in order to, which is, by the way, if people have to engage in derision or character assassination, they've already lost the argument. Because if Obama could have won the argument by debate and logic and argumentation, he would have.
Well, let's tell our listeners how they can get this book at the present time.
Well, The Abomination, and the subtitle is Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality, is in bookstores all over the country. It should be on the bestseller rack in every bookstore in America, including airports. It's in Costco, Sam Clubs, etc. It's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and we have signed copies of The Abomination on WorldNetDaily.com.
Now, WorldNetDaily.com, and they can just send an email there and get the book through WorldNet.
Just order it through the WorldNetDaily shop. The book is in the bookstore in the shop.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Dr. Jerome Corsi's new book on Abomination, and of course, we're Jerry, just hang on there for a couple of minutes, but I hope everybody out there in the audience will want to get the book, will want to read it. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Jerome Corsi come on the program with us, so we can present you the information you're not going to get from so many of the other people out there talking on the issues, or maybe the non-issues.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
And why, you know, what's the obligation and responsibility of the United States to solve world poverty? There's a tax on the U.S. citizens because U.S. is relatively economically well off. You know, it's again the socialist idea of fairness where everybody has to be equal, or from each, you know, according to what they have or their abilities, and to each according to what they need. It's fundamental. This kind of fairness idea of Obama is Marxism 101. And if you look at the global tax, we know that money, you should have known this from the Great Society poverty programs, money, we spent trillions, money does not solve poverty. What solves poverty is families, religion, education, and jobs. And those are the equations that Obama is missing in his radical redistribution of income schemes.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think it's really a rather a frightening thought that he might become the next president of the United States. I'm certainly not a supporter of McCain. I don't like either one of them. I think what a terrible thing is that we have a choice, between these two candidates. And I'm sure that if anybody had put, as Joseph Farah of Walnut Daily suggested, the place in the ballot to put in none of the above, why that none of the above candidate would certainly win.
Dr. Stan, don't worry. If we get McCain in, I'll write another book and we'll impeach him.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Jerome Kirsch. He's one of our favorite guests. We always appreciate having him on with us. And, Jerry, thank you for everything you do, for your dedication, for your willingness to come on with us. I know you're getting on all the major television and radio stations and programs, and we're simply a small fry compared with the others, but it's always a pleasure having you with us.
My great pleasure and honor to be with you, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
God bless and bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. If you'd like to get the book, why we can make it available through Radio Liberty. We haven't put the order in yet, but if you tell our listener the exchange that you'd like to get the book, Abomination, why we'll make it a point to make them available through Radio Liberty. I think it's important that you understand what's going on and really what's happening. And, of course, I believe in my own heart of hearts that Obama was run by the establishment because it'd be much easier to defeat than Hillary Clinton. But that's simply my analysis of what's going on today. What they would like is Congress and Senate that are controlled by the Democrats, the presidents are controlled by the Republicans. But it really doesn't matter because both sides are controlled by the same people. And if you haven't heard our talks on the secret government, we have a 4-tape or 4-CD set on the secret government, another one on secret societies. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. In fact, there have always been secret societies. And that's why you need to read my book or hear my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. Secret societies are very real, and they're influencing a foreign and domestic policy right here in the United States. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden knowledge, and then, of course, the secret knowledge. These are important. There's a syllabus that goes with the first one. The planned police state talk, and, of course, the syllabus that goes with that. So much information out there that you need to get. I just want to mention we are having our all-day conference on the 26th of October, and we do hope you can come. It'll be here at the Aptal Seascape Golf Course in the Monterey Bay area. We're having some excellent speakers, Dr. Blaylock, Johanna Michelson, Patrick Wood, myself, Michael Shaw. We're not going to have too many talkers because we want each one to have a lot more time so that you can hear what they have to say and ask them questions. So we had a great time last year. We hope you'll be here. And if you'd like to make your reservations, because we have to have reservations, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get your reservations. If you'd like to get into the other items we've been talking about, because we think it's important that you have access to this information. Do you want to know why we have such strange weather? Well, we have a book on weather warfare. We have a very excellent DVD on weather modification. And we also have an excellent, and that actually is by Bob Fletcher. Just ask for Bob Fletcher's DVD. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on weather modification. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they really can modify the weather. They can create hurricanes and storms and droughts. But, of course, they don't want the American people to understand that. They don't want the American people to understand much of anything. That's why they get our attention, you know, with all sorts of sports and programs like the Lipstick Jungle or many of the other programs on television today which are of no eternal significance. And why there's a constant attack on Christianity through almost the entire mechanism of the media. Because there really is an effort to destroy our Christian belief. And, of course, they put their people under the Supreme Court to take God and prayer out of our schools. And if you don't understand the background of that, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because we tell you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of schools. Everybody knows they did it, but why did they do it? Well, Brotherhood of Darkness will tell you that. The book we carry, we have the only supply of them called Unholy Alliance. And lastly, of course, we carry the book, Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher. Books you're not going to find elsewhere, dealing with subjects you're not going to hear discussed elsewhere, because there's a conscious effort to keep the American people from understanding we're involved in a spiritual battle that is being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, financial battlefield. And if we don't understand what the battle is, how can we possibly try to preserve our freedom? Well, we do hope many of you are out there. Well, as you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, you can listen to our internet programs there, 9 hours a day, some of them are replays, but at least 4 hours, certainly live, and then you can listen to our MP3 and our blog presentations, and then, of course, we archive our programs as well. And they're free. Watch our DVDs, watch our videos, and watch our...
Hi there. I want to talk to you about a dirty word. Hangover. I know, I know. As the makers of Drink and Mate Hangover Defense Tablets, we hear it every day. Grown, respectable adults don't get hangovers. Hangovers are what you got in college when you had about 10 too many at the frat house and then rolled out of bed.